listeners, you're listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how are you doing on this still winter evening?
I'm doing good. Not too wintry here.
Good.
It's your cousin's birthday, so I just talked to him for the family a little while ago. So I
heard that. What is he turning, 40?
No, oh, God. 34.
34. That sounds right.
Yes.
Rory, he's just a year older than I am.
Yeah, in between you and Rob. So yeah. But I think we're having a way milder winter than you guys. So
it's getting mild now. Yesterday we got into the 50s and it was the warmest been since Christmas.
Wow. We were in the 40s. So is all your snow gone?
The really dirty piles are still hanging around.
Yeah. I know. It's getting ugly now.
Yeah. The park near me is just it's the first time I've seen grass there, but it's all a muddy mess.
Yeah.
Ugh. And speaking of muddy messes, we've got a guest here who is incidentally not known for being a muddy mess. So that was an ironic segue. And this fellow is coming to us live from, well, I didn't confirm with him, but I'm pretty sure he's coming live from Ventnor, New Jersey. It's my good friend, Dave Coyle. Oh.
Yes, Jeff, that is correct. And thank you for that transition. So, yes, calling from Ventnor, New Jersey. And Jeff actually had the opportunity to come visit me in Ventnor back in, what was that? Was it August or September?
It was, I think so.
Where is Ventnor?
So it's just south of Atlantic City. Beach town. We're two blocks from the beach.
Oh.
Haven't been going to the beach recently. Same thing here. It's been it was very mild today, one of the first nice days in a while, so it was like maybe mid-50s, sunny.
The South Jersey forecast in New York usually mentions South Jersey, and it seems like you guys have been 5 degrees warmer than us lately.
We have, yeah, and actually with all the snow that we've been getting down here, we actually haven't gotten much snow. The one day it was really bad, but they say because there's so much salt in the air, it's actually hard for there to be a lot of snowfall. Which is, I guess, a good thing. I mean, I'm working from home, so it doesn't really affect me too much.
Yeah.
I was actually excited to go out and shovel the snow because I don't get outside enough, when it's cold.
Makes you go out.
Yeah, I mean, I work from home too, at least with city living, the snow is such a pain because I want to have a reason to go out for a bit. I'll do my best to go out for a run in the morning, but then if it's all messy, then I just got to hunker down.
That's right. Yeah. Jeff and I ran on the boardwalk here when he came to visit. And unfortunately, it wasn't the best weather when he came to visit. So it wasn't great for the beach, but we did at least get to run the AC boardwalks. So.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds fun. I miss that.
Well, Dave, so I'm coming to everyone live from Brooklyn as usual, but Dave and I, we know each other originally from where both of us are originally from, because we've known each other for almost 20 years. We went to high school together. I was growing up in Yardley. Dave was growing up in Fairless Hills, so he was able to just walk to school most of the time. It was pretty much in his backyard.
I know. I could just roll out of bed, 15 minutes before the day started and ready to go.
That is nice.
Just run to school. Yeah.
That's how it was for grade school for me.
Yeah, you guys were really close to your...
Yeah.
I've always had that luxury of being close to my school, so just, yeah. Took that for granted too, because some people took the bus in. I remember our other friend Jeff would get there at 6:30, and I was like, "That's mind-boggling to me. I'm still sleeping for 45 minutes."
Yeah,
and he's already at school.
You said, to clarify for people, are you referring to our other friend who is also named Jeff?
Correct.
Okay, because you could have been confirmed. Just specifying that you were talking to me again.
We need to make that, our other make friend, that clear for the listeners, yes.
The other Jeff.
Right.
Okay. A lot of Jeffs out there.
Yeah. Our other friend Jeff, who also who lived fairly close to me, but I believe we were on different bus routes. So so he got the really early drop off. I think is that the right context for this episode, do you think? Everyone knowing all our listeners knowing our high school routine, does that tie into
exactly, yeah.
what we'll be talking about?
That's critical information for them to have.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking about game shows. We've done it before, so I think our listeners, you're in safe hands as far as enthusiasm goes. Specifically, we're talking about The Chase, which is a part of ABC's Fun and Games lineup, and we'll be talking about it within the context of that lineup of that branding of programming. But before we dive in, Aunt Beth, have you caught up on the mini episodes from the past couple weeks?
I listened to the Black Puma episode,
mm-hmm.
and then I forgot to listen to the Karaoke Corner. What was the most recent one?
It was the one from the Marilyn Malones.
I've got to write that down because I forgot to listen to that one.
You got to prepare yourself. It's really jammed packed. So I asked Brady, my cousin Brady, I said, who our listeners may know from our special holiday family episodes. I asked him, could you ask your kids for them to give me, for each one of his three kids to give me one band or musician each. And then he comes back with five artists. I'm like, where did these two extra come? So I'm thinking the kids, as well as Brady and Katie, Brady's wife, Katie, I think they contributed as well.
Okay, so you got five different ones. All right, I promise I will listen to it this weekend.
Okay. You're all caught up on the Puppy Bowl, right? Did we all catch that this year?
Well, are we getting into that now, or?
Well, let's just talk about that for 1 minute. I'm looking at my watch. Starting now. In a minute, I'm going to stop it unless it's already stopped by then.
Yeah.
Puppy Bowl 17, Ruff beat Fluff 73-69, and the the most valuable pup was a Boston Terrier named Marshall. What did everyone think?
I'm bad this year because I watch it faithfully every year. And this year I was invited to friends for the game and they're not that into football, but we started watching it and I got really into it and I came home and I watched the rest of it. And usually I watch the Puppy Bowl and then on commercials, we'll go back to the Super Bowl. But so I only saw maybe 40 minutes of it. So I don't have a lot to say about it. Maybe Dave does.
Okay, Dave, you've got 13 seconds.
13 seconds. So, well, I actually this year did not. I have seen it in the past, but in preparation for this, I wanted to look up the Puppy Bowl. So I encourage our viewers out there to watch the first video on YouTube of the first touchdown of the Puppy Bowl, because I could not stop laughing. It was just, it was incredible. Because I just like, it's just playing this like epic music and there's this slow-mo play and it's three dogs. And then two of them are like going after this toy and the other dog is just standing there just watching them, just like wanting none of it, just watching what's happening.
She breaks free. Cuts left. She's at the 40, the 10. Muffin takes it 99 yards to the house. Touchdown.
Oh, they're so cute. It really is a cute. Yeah. I love this show because they're all rescue dogs and it's a great,
good cause. You know,
sure. Yeah, it's a great cause. So I do still have it taped, so I'm going to watch more of it.
Okay, good.
So, okay.
Well, it is. I'll say quick. I enjoyed Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg as they were doing the tailgate They were cutting to them occasionally. And they were some solid additions. So that ended up being 2 minutes. So I guess we'll have to, we're going to get penalized by the mayor of podcasting. I think we're generally in good standing. So we'll just have to show up to our hearing and they might just let us off the warning. Yeah.
He'll let that slide.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a dispensation. Yeah, but that reminds me, Beth, I think we're hoping to do some sort of dog-themed, dogs of pop culture-related episode at some point in the future.
Yeah, we didn't clarify, but something dog-related.
Yeah.
Got to think about that,
So many good dog movies.
There are. Yeah, like...
You got all the Air Buds, you got Homeward Bound, you got... Old Yeller...
Dave, did I give you Santa Buddies for Christmas 1 year?
You did. I think you gave me Spooky Buddies.
Okay.
Which was, I wonder if I even still have that. It might be somewhere in the, buried in the basement somewhere. But
that would be Spooky Buddies. That would be a good premise for some. In fact, it's probably been the premise of some TV episodes where people, I think it's been an episode of like Rugrats or something where they go into the basement and dig through all the boxes down there and discover a world full of wonders.
I'm sure it's a treasure trove down there. So.
That's one thing that doesn't change as technology marches on. There's still basements and still crazy time capsule finds to discover.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready to... take a chase?
Yeah. I'd say let's get into it.
All right. Well, I think I'll throw in a clip around here. And then after that plays, you'll hear me giving a little intro. So I'll go ahead and read that intro right now.
In 1872, Susan B. Anthony was arrested and found guilty of illegally doing what?
Casting a vote.
Correct. The J&R Double Arch Ranch was the longtime vacation home of what fast food mogul?
Croc.
Correct. Who performed We Shall Overcome while 6 months pregnant at 1969's Woodstock Festival?
Joan Baez.
Correct. The Nile River flood kinds of...
I can't beat you.
17 correct answers, plus your two-step advantage. That puts you 19 steps ahead of the chaser.
That's tough.
That's a big bite to chew on.
Is your game show running? Well, then you better go chase it. First, it was a British game show. Then it was an American game show on Game Show Network. Now it's an American game show on the American Broadcasting Company. Contestants compete against trivia legends. In this case, Jeopardy's three most storied alumni. Aunt Beth, Dave, the chase is on. Okay, so we're talking about the chase and also trying to touch a little bit on ABC's Fun Games lineup. So yeah, if this is your first time listening to That's Entertainment, let me make sure you know what's happening so that you're not confused about this wild pop culture discussion. We pick a pop culture topic, and I think you may have already figured out which one we're covering this episode, and we discuss it according to the three F's, first, favorite, and forever. So talking about what it means to us and putting it in context, telling you our journey of why it matters to us. So in the first section, we discuss our first encounter with this piece of pop culture. And Dave, I think you were actually the first one of us to ever watch The Chase, because I don't think either Aunt Beth and I watched, we'll get into details, but yeah, we mostly hadn't watched any of the earlier versions, but you had. So because of that, and since you are the guest, I'll let you go first. When did you start watching The Chase? And also before that, when did you... start watching anything from the ABC Fun and Games lineup?
Sure, actually. So I guess kind of going back, when you came to visit me in New Jersey, and again, the weather wasn't great, I believe we watched The Chase when you were there. And I forget exactly how we discovered it. I say we, I mean me and my girlfriend, she found, I think, the episodes on Netflix and was like, hey, you know, let's watch The Chase. Because we're into game shows. I mean, I would say Jeopardy is by far the one that we watch the most. But, you know, we'll watch all sorts of game show stuff. And yeah, so we just started watching that and I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
Was it the British version or the regular?
This was the American version with the British, the Beast is what they called him. Yes, okay. He was the Beast and it was just one guy. So now with the latest revamp, they now have the other contestants or the other chasers.
So for people who...
We started watching that.
Yeah, for people who haven't watched the older versions, I think on the current version, they refer to Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, and James Holzhauer as the Chasers, but on the Game Show Network version, the Chaser, Mark Labette, he was referred to as the Beast.
Yes, yeah, he was the Beast on that.
And I think, I don't know, maybe one of the reasons they don't call these new guys the current Chasers as Beast is because they're not quite as physically imposing as Mark was.
No, Ken Jennings is not very intimidating physically, but then when you go up against him in trivia, you realize how good he is.
Mark was both a trivia master and he looked like he could be a linebacker.
Yes.
Yes. So that's when you first started, Dave, last summer watching it?
Yeah, so I suppose it was last summer then. Yeah, that's when we first started watching it. Realized it was a good show, so we kept up with it and was excited to hear that they were then doing it with Ken Jennings, James Holzhauer, and Brad Rutter with the Jeopardy contestants. So we jumped right in, started watching that.
Had you watched any Fun and Games shows before?
So I think before that, I'm trying to think what we had watched. I know, so it was the Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? That was the Fun and Games. So we were watching that with Jimmy Kimmel. I'm trying to think of some of the episodes we watched. I know we watched the one with Catherine O'Hara. And I liked the one, it was kind of like strange. It was the one with Jane Fonda. Uh-huh. And it almost seemed like, she was just like, you know, kind of like, what am I doing here? Whatever. Just like answer, like, let's get this over with type of thing. Like, didn't want any chit chat, just answering the questions. Like, let's just do this. So we enjoyed watching that. And we like Jimmy Kimmel. We actually went to a Jimmy Kimmel filming a few years ago in LA. Oh. So it was exciting to do that. So we didn't actually meet him or anything, but I just remember when we were sitting in the audience, I guess his prompt was kind of right where I was sitting. So it looked like he was staring at me the whole time. And it was really weird. That's weird. But obviously he's a great host. You know, he knows what he's doing. We watched that. And then let's see, what else did we watch? I tried to give the Hustle. I got to give that another chance. I only watched one episode of that and I fell asleep and that could just be because I was tired. So I won't, knock the show in any way, but I don't know. I feel like I got to give that another chance and get into it. Yeah. Trying to think what else was there?
Pyramid, Match Game.
And Match Game. Yeah. Match Game. We've watched that. And that's good. They get a lot of sort of high profile celebs on that. And obviously Alec Baldwin's, He's a great host for that. Yeah, so we've been enjoying them for sure.
Well, of course, and Alec Baldwin, he did famously play on an episode of SNL, one of the most famous Match Game contestants, when he showed up as Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, geez.
In the Inside the Actors Studio sketch.
Don't remember that one.
And Betty White laughed so hard her boob fell out. Unbelievable.
What are you calling it again? The Fun and Games.
Fun and Games, okay. Yeah.
I mostly only watch the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and some of Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. I watched a couple of those. I enjoy the Millionaire. I love Jimmy Kimmel and I do like when it's more celebrities than regular contestants. And I've always liked Pyramid and Match Game and Family Feud, but they just didn't seem to be a priority in my TV viewing just because I have so many other shows. So I really haven't watched those as much. And then I remember reading, I hadn't heard anything about The Chase beforehand. I didn't even know it was a show before. but I remember reading about it and reading that, you know, it was going to have the three goats from Jeopardy. So that really sparked my interest. So that's why I started watching that. So how about you, Jeff? You watch a lot of them, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up. So Celebrity Family Feud, at least this, the Steve Harvey hosted version of it, started in 2015, which, yeah, so I guess it was summer of 2015. So I would have just graduated from grad school then. And yeah, it became just a regular, at the time, I think they just had it on in the summer. But in recent years, as they've added more shows to the lineup, it's become like a year-round thing. But it's been like part of my post-grad school life where I've always looked forward to Celebrity Family Feud and then Match Game and Pyramid and The Gong Show for a few years and Battle of the Network Stars. They even brought that back for one season. It would always be something fun, usually on Sunday nights, now Thursday nights, and occasionally whatever other night of the week they want to put it on. Now it seems like every night because with the pandemic affecting TV production, that it's easier to show a whole bunch of game shows as opposed to anything else. It was a Family Feud. That's just always something good to throw on. It feels like good summer programming to me. I've watched it when I've been on vacation on Long Beach Island with my family.
Yeah,
laugh about the stupid answers that are always inevitably featured at least three times per episode. Was one that comes to mind is when Snoop Dogg was doing Fast Money. And the question was complete the phrase pie in the blank. And he said horse.
Pie in the, what the hell did you say?
I always feel like a little invigorated after a viewing of Celebrity Family Feud. Good laughs and good momentum from trying to guess along with, try to figure out the best answers myself along with the contestants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like, Dave, you've kind of filled in my discovery of The Chase, because I do remember hearing about it when it was on GSN back in, what year did it premiere there? I want to say 2013.
Or 14, somewhere around there.
2013, so right around the time I was starting grad school. The first time I ever watched an episode was on Netflix when I was visiting Dave. And then I heard it was being rebooted with some guys I enjoy watching on Jeopardy. So I was like, oh, well, I'll make it part of my regular viewing then. And then that brings us, with all our setup done, that brings us to the favorite section where we discuss, naturally enough, our favorite elements of what we're talking about. So I said, what's our favorite show from the Fun and Games lineup, whether it's The Chase or something else? And as far as The Chase goes, who is our favorite of the Chasers, both in terms of their role on that show and in terms of how they were as Jeopardy contestants? Maybe for us, our answers will be the same for both their Chase and Jeopardy appearances, or maybe it'll be different. Maybe we'll do a straight ballot, or maybe we'll do a split ballot. We're about to find out. Dave, we'll swing it back to you.
Sure. Well, I guess I would have to say that my favorite of the lineup is The Chase. I mean, that's definitely the show that I've watched the most. I did want to also just put in a plug for To Tell the Truth. I don't know if you had watched that one, Jeff. I feel like I got to give that another chance too, but we watched the one, and it was the person that did the floss that invented that dance.
Oh, and it was it was the kid who went on to be in the Katy Perry video.
Right. Yeah. So we can't give away too much because if anybody wants to watch the show, but we watched that one and I was like, oh, this is an interesting show. So I feel like I got to get back into that. But
do you find yourself guessing as it goes along?
Oh yeah. Always. We're trying to piece it together. And
what's your strategy? What clues do you look for?
for like if they're telling the truth,
right?
Or not. I don't know. I just, you kind of just have to get like a sense of like the person if they, I feel like a lot of times if they're saying a lot, then they're kind of, you know, just kind of making stuff up or whatever. Mm. Or they're trying to be, you know, they're trying to play off of like too much. And then they just, you know, it kind of seems like.
I find the ones who are very confident and comfortable typically aren't the truth yes. tellers.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, but that's another good show. But as for the chase, I mean, yeah, that's definitely my favorite of the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, now that I've watched both, it's hard to say which one is better. I mean, I do like this new revamp with the Jeopardy, you know, contestants. You know, they each kind of have their own little, you know, way of doing things, their own personalities that they bring to the table. As far as like my favorite one of the chasers, I would have to say it's probably Brad Rutter. I feel like he's just the most normal kind of guy of them. Like, I feel like he's the kind of person like I would see at like a Philly like bar trivia or something. Whereas I don't know, like, I mean, Ken Jennings, I feel like he's just, he's very full of himself and very cocky. And I guess he has a reason to be. So, I mean, it's fair enough that he acts that way. I mean, James Holzhauer is fine. I think he's kind of, I thought he was a bit like robotic, but I think now that he's doing this, he's kind of getting more into like the shtick and the banter and everything. So he's getting better. He's more fun to watch.
Who was your favorite on Jeopardy?
So on Jeopardy, actually, I think James Holzhauer is probably the most fun to watch, at least for me, because I liked that he came in with a strategy that he knew would work for him, that would work to his strengths. And he just played that very well. Obviously he knows a lot too, but he just played the game. I felt like he was the one that really dissected it so that he could play it the best that he could. So I thought that was entertaining to watch him play.
I'd have to say I was probably partial to Millionaire, since I don't know if Dave knew I was on Millionaire 20 some years ago. So, wow. And like I said before, I really enjoy watching the celebrities, and they really do take it seriously. You can see how stressed they get when they're competing. So that's probably my favorite. But my choices for the chase are the same as Dave's. My favorite chaser is Brad, only because I feel like he has such a hard time being mean. And so I don't like mean people, so I like him. Like, he's just such a normal, nice guy. So he's probably my favorite. But James was my favorite Jeopardy contestant. I don't know what it was about him. I just loved watching him. Like you said, his strategy, he was just amazing. So, I don't know. I'm enjoying, I like seeing all of them on as the chasers, but probably Brad's my favorite. What about you, Jeff? Because you watch so many of the shows. What's your favorite of all the game shows?
I think my favorite of the Fun and Games lineup, I picked Match Game, which is not, you know, it's not a trivia game. It's a match the stars game, but you do have to be clever a bit to win on Match Game. But as far as being a show, it's not spotlighting intelligence as much as it is wit and silliness, filled with body puns. And, you know, they get a lot of comedians on there. Most of the panelists are either sketch comedians or stand-ups or people who have some comedy background in some way. So it's, if you're a comedy nerd, you'll probably enjoy it in some way in that regard. You know, you'll see all these SNL alumni who Alec Baldwin has worked with, because, you know, he was on 30 Rock all those years and has hosted SNL 16 times, I think. He's the record holder. But yeah, it's sometimes they can get a little too obvious with their puns, but, you know, I like being silly and bawdy. I think it's the funnest way to talk about sexual matters and other topics that you're otherwise not supposed to talk about in polite conversation. So it's fun to see funny people bite into those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun and games that we're talking about here, not just games. You know, my favorite game show is Jeopardy. That's serious game time.
Yeah.
Now you can have fun being a Jeopardy contestant, but you can't be talking about what dumb Dora is doing or what hiccuping Henry, what made hiccuping Henry hiccup last night. Yeah, so well then my Chase favorites are pretty similar. I'll say yeah, I do like Brad as well, and for similar reasons, because I do think producers encourage all three of the Chasers to be a little mean, and Ken does a good job relishing that. And James doesn't change his personality when he delivers those zingers, and that makes them almost even zingier. And Brad, you can kind of tell he's like, it hurts his soul a little bit.
Yeah. He's like, how can I compliment you at the same time?
While I know, he's such a sweet guy.
But as far as favorite from their Jeopardy days, you know, they were all guys that I loved watching it because it's fun to watch people who really know their stuff playing Jeopardy. But I think when they competed against each other last year on the Greatest of All Time tournament, I found myself rooting for Brad. It just, as in terms of personality style, he got the edge there just a little bit. Although James is definitely number one in terms of strategy that I would like to emulate if I ever end up as a contestant, and then that I think everyone should emulate. It's a tough strategy to pull off, but if you work at it, I think it is the best possible way to play the game. Okay, so that is the favorite section, and we've got one more section left. That's the forever, but we usually take a break in between favorite and forever and make some time for some trivia. And well, since this is an episode devoted to game shows, I see no reason to stop that tradition. So I came up with a trivia question. Aunt Beth and Dave, did you guys come up with one too?
I did. It's not the greatest, but I couldn't find much this time. But did you, Dave?
I did. Yeah, I came up with a few.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you go, Dave?
Sure. Well, actually, I kind of revolved some of mine around the chase, since that's what we're going to be talking about, and maybe it would encourage people to watch or tune in. But I'll start with one. It's about one of the chasers. So it was which of the chasers? So we have Ken Jennings, James Holzhauer, or Brad Rutter. Which chaser holds the record for the most all-time winnings on Jeopardy?
I think I know.
Not sure. Wait,
for the most all-time winnings on Jeopardy?
On Jeopardy. Did
you, I thought you meant a chaser.
I think, I'm not entirely sure if it changed or not, but I think I know who it is.
Should we say it at the same time?
I guess so. We might end up saying something different, but let's see how it goes.
See, we'll do it. Okay, yeah, 3, 2, 1.
Brad.
Brad.
And that is correct. That it was Brad Rutter with just over 5.1 million.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I wasn't sure if it changed after the Greatest of All Time or not, but yeah, I didn't think it had.
So that's why that was intended to be a little bit of a tricky question, because they've actually gone back and forth between him and Ken. And right now, Brad holds that title. So,
okay. And did you have another one too?
I did, actually. And this is another question from the chase. And I have a feeling you may both get this. I know Jeff will definitely get this, but one of his favorite hobbies. But the question is, what nightclub activity comes from the Japanese words for empty orchestra?
I think I know that one too.
I think so too. Should we say it together again?
Yes. Or what are we counting down? 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, Dave, are you going to give us another?
Sure, I'll do another. 3, 2, 1.
Karaoke.
Yes. Well done.
So what's it mean? Empty what?
Empty orchestra.
Oh, interesting.
Karaoke. Oh, man, it's been like a year since I've gone karaokeing.
No.
I know, Jeff. Jeff and I have done karaoke together a few times.
I'm trying to recall
the last one that we did. I know we went in Philly, and was that at Moriarty's or Fergie's?
I think
it was an Irish.
We did at least two places. There was one place that was kind of crowded, and one that was there were like maybe 10 people.
Right. Okay. So the 10 people one would have been Nick's Roast Beef. In Philly, in Old City. So that's it. That was definitely like a go-to karaoke spot because nobody would be there. So you could sing as many songs as you want. It was just such an like old man kind of dive bar and you could just sing whatever you wanted.
Wow.
Moriarty's, I remember, was a little more crowded and that could be a disadvantage because then you only get like one song for the whole night. So you really have to make it count.
Yeah, well, I think the ideal situation is a crowded place, so you've got a huge audience, but only 10% of the people there want to perform. So yeah, you don't have to wait around for a full rotation of everyone who's there.
No.
Okay. Mine's a pretty easy one, but I thought we were just doing Chase trivia, so that's what I concentrated on, and I couldn't, you'll all know this, but which of the, I call them the goats, was a contestant on the 2013-2015 version of The Chase.
Shall know I that, Dave?
No.
Okay. You know, Jeff?
I believe it was James.
Yep.
Oh.
It was James. Okay. How about yours, Jeff?
Okay, we'll see how this goes here. I've written down. What were Brad, Ken, and James's professions on their first episodes of Jeopardy?
Ooh.
For some of them, it may have changed over the years. It may have been different on their subsequent appearances. But so Brad, he first appeared, I think, in 2000. Ken first appeared in 2004, and James was 2 years ago, so 2019.
James, it's just said professional.
So he was a professional gambler, like sports
gambler. Yeah.
Yeah, they said professional sports gambler to get precise, but it's just professional gambler is certainly correct.
The other ones, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would just take a shot in the dark, say that Ken did something in like software or IT. I don't know.
Yeah. He was a software engineer.
Software engineer,
good. Okay.
All right, now try to think back where Brad was 21 years ago. Think about how old he is now and how old he would have been then.
Well, he would have been probably like
mid-20s, right?
Yeah, college, just out of college, maybe. You know, yeah, mid-20s.
Yeah, so...
So he was unemployed.
Close. He may have been underemployed. He may have been, but that's not how he was announced.
Self-employed?
No. Well, actually, Brad's is kind of tricky because it's not really a job.
I don't know.
I mean, it's certainly something.
Professional or self-proclaimed professional game show contestant?
No. Not, well, I was about to say close, but not really. I mean, this is something that involves a lot of work that you don't typically get paid for, at least not with money.
A volunteer of some sort?
No.
No.
Huh. Peace Corps? Yeah, nothing like that.
No, not like that.
Okay. We're getting colder.
I think you need to tell us.
you said part of it when you were just like working your way through what someone his age would have been doing.
You said unemployed.
Before you said that, you said something else.
He was a student?
Yes.
He was in grad school?
Grad student.
He was college student. So I think he was in undergrad at the time, but he competed on regular Jeopardy instead of the college tournament.
Oh, wow.
So the first time he was on, he was It just said college student.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't think of him that young then. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, I believe he, of the three chasers, I believe he was the youngest on his original Jeopardy appearance. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So he actually has made a career being a game show contestant.
Pretty much. Yeah. And he does acting on the side.
Yes. And acting. Okay. And made over $5 million doing it. So maybe I should.
Yeah.
Consider a new profession.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. Well, now we wrap it up with our final section, which is called the Forever section, which we take stock of where we are and look towards the future. So basically, we're going to talk about everything else there is left to talk about the chase that we haven't talked about already and answer the question, do we want it to stay on ABC's lineup? Dave. Yeah, what do you think about all that?
Well, my answer would be a yes. I definitely enjoy the show. I would like to see it to continue. I guess sort of my only critique that I kind of, at least in comparison to the last show, and maybe this is just because the Jeopardy chasers are just so good, I feel like they never get anything wrong during the chase, whereas the Beast, the British guy, occasionally would get something wrong. So I feel like, you know, contestants have to be really sharp and especially to get all three. But I like the format. I like the new host. She's good.
Sarah Haynes. Yeah.
Sarah Haynes. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I mean, it's got a lot going for it. I do. I hope it stays. I enjoy watching it. So we'll see. I know it's hard when there's so many other game shows out there and there's limited airtime. Yeah. So. We'll see how it goes, but
yeah, I'm enjoying it very much too, and I think Sarah's doing a good job. I only watched one of the versions with the Beast, and he really kind of turned me off. I just did not enjoy him at all. So, and the only thing I don't like about this one is when you know, I feel really bad when they go, you know, lose everything and don't go home with, you know, it's like, okay, you're leaving with nothing. Which is kind of hard. They put a lot into it and they still, you know, sometimes could just miss by one question, but they still have to leave. So I'm not wild about that, but then you mentioned something, Jeff, about a lot of the contestants have been on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
I think at least one, maybe two of them have mentioned it, but I recognize, I'm like, I know that I've seen that person before.
Oh,
like,
really?
I think on the first episode, her name was Kristen Sawsville. Like, she won, I think, 5 games, maybe like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she's interesting because she and her husband, Justin, are the only two husband-wife pairs to have both made it to a Jeopardy Tournament of Champions.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then she was on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I think I want to say at least 5 of the contestants so far this season have been former Jeopardy contestants. Wow.
Interesting. Wow. But yeah, I'd like to see it. You know, I'm sure that since there are so many, it's hard to know if this is going to stick or not, or, you know, if there enough people are watching it, but I like it. It's different, you know, than a lot of the shows. And so we'll see what happens, but I'm enjoying it for now. I'm going to watch it tonight. after we're finished.
Yes. The one hitch I'm concerned about is whether or not Ken gets the full-time gig on Jeopardy as the new host.
Oh.
I think his run as the guest host the past several weeks was very well received.
Do you think he'd want it?
If you'd asked me 2 months ago before his guest host run started, I would have said no. But now that he's had a chance to see how it goes, I think he might say yes if they offer it to him. I don't think it's a done deal. I'd say if he wasn't doing the chase, then it would be a definite yes. But since that's also going on, he may want to keep doing that. And I don't know if Jeopardy producers will want him to be doing both. So,
yeah. Huh.
It's hard to say. I mean, I've watched some of the Jeopardy episodes with him too. I think he's, you know, obviously it takes some getting used to like a new host. He's definitely like well qualified to do it. I think that's why he would be offered the role to do it. So
yeah, I mean, I wasn't. He seemed like he was a lot of people's first choice for Alex's successor. He wasn't mine. Well, I didn't really have a choice, but I kind of wanted it to be someone relatively unknown. Like I wanted it to be someone who wasn't on anybody's wish list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like Alex was known among game show circles before he took over on Jeopardy, but he wasn't a superstar back in 1984. But now that I've seen him, I'm like, you know, he did a good job adapting to what Alex did and then finding his own rhythm that was different enough. So if he does take that job, I'll be happy with it. But I'm liking the chase so far. So I also like it to whatever decision is made as far as Jeopardy goes. I hope it doesn't put the chase's existence in jeopardy.
They'd have to hire a new chaser, though. I'm sure they could find somebody.
Mm-hmm. They should have had Johnny, the guy that does the intro for Jeopardy. That could have been his promotion, right?
Johnny Gilbert.
The guy that does the "This is Jeopardy." Jeopardy. Like,
he should have been the new host.
The host.
That would have been his promotion.
I think he's even older than Alex.
He was the guy.
Yeah,
I think he's like 96 or something. He's like, he did the, he was the commentator for Supermarket Sweep, which is another game show that was remade.
Oh, wow.
but yeah, in the original, he was the guy that did that. So
okay, I just looked up Johnny on Wikipedia. It says, born July 13th, 1924 or 1928. Sources differ.
Records were not great back then. Funny.
Yeah, I've seen that with other people.
Is he born in the U.S. or born in I don't know.
He was born in Newport News, Virginia.
So he's in his 90s either way. Or wait, let's say 90.
He's either 92 or 96.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty old. Okay, well, let's wrap up our chase.
We're in the final chase now, right?
We are in the final chase. We're coming to the final home stretch. We might be, who's crossing the line first? Okay, so I guess, are we about ready to do our outro business?
Yes.
Okay. So here's where we come to the part of the show where we mentioned some housekeeping stuff. Like if anyone wants to give us a review, please do on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you do, we'll read it on air. We don't have any reviews that I found to read out right now, but I did see that we have an average rating of 5 stars so far. So some people have rated us. Dave, have you given us a rating or a review?
Actually, I do not think that I have done that. So for shame on me. I will get on that.
All right. So yeah, and you, Dave, and tell everyone else to tell your girlfriend. And also, I like to tell everyone who's listening, if you like what you're hearing, recommend it to at least 2 people or more. And I like to say to our guests, recommend it to at least 4 people or more.
So it's like a Ponzi scheme. We recommend 2 and then 2 more people get
it. That's right.
you've blown our cover, Dave.
Oh, no.
Everyone knows what this podcast really is.
Edit this part out.
Okay. And so anyone else who wants to give a review, one way you can do that is by heading to ratethispodcast.com/thatsontertainment. And okay, what else we got on? Okay, so Dave and Beth, well, Dave, I'll let you go first. If you've got anything to promote or if you've got anything to recommend, if you do have anything to recommend, phrase it in the form of what's something that you could enjoy with your aunt and or nephew. So go ahead, Dave, anything to promote or recommend?
to promote or recommend? I don't know. So this is like something, I guess, I don't know, you kind of need more people, I guess, but it's still something you can do with your aunt or nephew, because we're still in the midst of COVID. You know, it's, you got to do online games or something. So we've enjoyed playing this game called Codenames, like on Zoom. And it's very easy to play. Yeah. If either of you have heard of that. You'll need some other people, but that's something, something you could do. I think it's fun. It's a good, and on the topic of fun and games.
Yeah.
Could ABC adapt that into a show?
I'm sure there's a way that they could. I mean, it's a great board game if anybody's played. A board game. It's kind of like little tiles that you lay out, and you have somebody that, you know, you try and say one word, and people have to guess all these other words, and they're connecting. It's a fairly simple game to play, and it's challenging, but a good time. So yes. I don't know. That's something you could do.
Okay. Aunt Beth, anything to promote or
recommend? I don't think so. I heard you guys talking about WandaVision, and I already mentioned that last time. So you could watch that with your aunt or your nephew.
You certainly could.
And you could watch it even, I was going to say, Jeff, if we ever did a show about it, I would do it on the premise where I'm not familiar with most Marvel movies, or Avengers movies, I mean, but I'm still loving the show. Yeah. And so that's a, you know, it's an interesting way to look at it. But
yeah. We could also compare it to the sitcoms that it references.
It's really very creative, I think, but yeah, nothing else to promote.
They just referenced your favorite, or like your recent favorite family sitcom in the last episode.
Which one did they talk about?
They were doing it in Modern Family style.
Oh, that's right. And the first one was so, I mean, it was like the exact Dick Van Dyke living room.
I would like to recommend Resident Alien on Sci-Fi.
I just finished it right before we started the Zoom. I had taped it last night and I just finished watching it.
I think it's the funniest show of 2021 so far.
Resident Alien? I've got to give that a try.
I told Rory to find it.
It's with Alan Tudyk as an alien who crash lands on Earth and has to blend into this little Colorado town by pretending to be some doctor. He has to pretend to be human, and he's
having such a hard time.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's very good.
Yeah.
Is it on? It's Wednesday nights, I think, at 10.
Wednesdays
on
at 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, that's a good recommendation, Jeff. It's very fun. He's so good in that role.
So I would like him to win an Emmy for lead actor in a comedy, but then I'd also like the woman, what's her name, who plays Asta. I'd like her to win an Emmy, but in the drama category. Sarah Tomko is her name, because like Alan Tudyk, he's doing this great comedy routine, but the rest of the show is a pretty affecting family drama, small town drama.
This is on Hulu. That's the only thing. I don't have Hulu, so I'll have to get.
No, Sci-Fi.
It's on Sci-Fi. You might be able to watch it on Hulu. You can stream it somewhere.
I'm looking it up now, and I just saw Hulu, and
I guess
this came out on regular.
There's got to be a free trial or something, and then I can just
Rory said he just
binge watch
found it somewhere.
Yeah, they probably put it on Hulu the next day, I think. So if you have Hulu, I think you can watch it that way too. And then I'll also mention, so we recently switched our podcast hosting platform from Podbean to Anchor FM. Listeners, you don't need to make any changes. You'll get it in your podcast feed as usual if you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but it's... I just wanted to mention that I'm still tooling around with bits. I like what I heard about Anchor, so hopefully it'll help us continue to put out great podcast episodes. And as always, Ken Jeong, you have an open invitation to guest on That's Entertainment whenever you have a free evening.
He doesn't have much free time, though.
I know. He's hosting about half of Fox's schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess that is the end of another That's Entertainment episode. So thank you, Dave, for helping us.
You have a sound bite that you can put in. Yeah.
I'll throw in some applause there. Yeah. Yeah. I usually add some applause in at the end. Let's go around and everyone throw in your words of goodbye.
Sure. I'll start. I was just going to say that, I'm a longtime listener of That's Entertainment, but a first time guest appearance, I suppose. So thank you for having me on. Excited to, see when this comes out, and we'll just keep listening to great content. Keep up the good work, Jeff.
Is this your first time on any podcast?
This is.
Oh boy.
Wow. So this is a big day.
I'll have to send you a cake.
We have to have a cake. I can put this on my resume now. This is a big day. So thank you.
I always just sign off ever since we did our Jeopardy episode, which was quite a while ago, right, Jeff? I don't even
remember. Over a year ago, I think.
Yeah. So I always sign off with what is good night to everybody.
And then,
I'm glad you joined us, Dave.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
Thank you for having me on. Yes.
And then I always say, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.